How's it going, everyone? Welcome to Free Kick, the AFLW Fantasy Podcast. Today I'm joined by Liam as we do our team review for Carlton. Liam, how's it going?
Look, it's not too bad. I'm actually talking right now from my home and I can actually see the light poles at Icon Park. So Carlton is definitely somewhere that has, you know, a spot close to my heart, if only because I live near it.
Proximity close to your heart.
Yes, literally quite the closest team to my physical heart.
No excuses not to go to every Blues game this season then.
You say
actually,
that.
Icon's the home to so many teams now. Melbourne, yes, and Richmond?
Well, Richmond, not anymore. It was Richmond last season because they were redoing Punt Road over.
And now they're back next to my heart. Yes. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Carlton and how they went last season. Liam, take it away.
I thought we were here for geography chat and geography chat alone. So Carlton finished 12th last year. They had 4 wins. They had 6 losses for a win percentage of 86%. Now, just in terms of what they were like as a team, this was a relatively low mark team. They were 13th in the comp for marks. They were also a high tackle team. They were 4th overall in average tackles last year, and they also had a positive clearance differential. But the one thing they also did have was an extremely handball-happy team, so in the bottom 4 in the competition for kicks as well. So this is a team that really ran the game out of the midfield, but they didn't have a good ability to sit on the ball and really be able to dominate possession.
Yeah, so not great. But hopefully some of the trades that they've done in the off-season will put them in a better position coming into season 9. Who are the major ones?
Well, there is one massive one, quite literally in terms of how tall she is, and that's Celine Moody, which I must say was one of the most surprising trades of this AFLW off-season because for those of you who were following Carlton last year, they were a team that already had, I would have said, too many good rucks. They were already playing Breanne Moody as a part-time forward, part-time ruck, and the same goes for Jess Good. Now, that's one thing they really did dominate in. They were a really high hit-out team because of those twin towers. They've now got another one, so it's a triple tower, but you'll probably hear about those players a little bit later. In terms of their other ins, they traded for Yasmin Dersma at Port Adelaide and then also Tani Brown, who was a former daughter's son at Collingwood has come across to Icon Park.
Nice. And quite a few outs as well.
Quite a few outs. I would have said that the biggest one in terms of the number of games she played was probably Phoebe McWilliams, who retired. And then in terms of their retired players, it's almost all defenders. So Mua Lalawifi has gone across to the Western Bulldogs, where she used to play as a VFLW player, and then Annie Lee and Paige Trudgeon, who were also medium defenders, who moved across. Annie Lee and Paige Trudgeon have both been traded. Paige Trudgeon has gone across to St Kilda, and then Daisy Walker has also gone to GWS as a delisted kind of semi-traded player. So they've actually lost a lot of defenders, which is something that's going to be important when I talk about some players later.
Yeah, okay. And so this is the point at the episode where we'd normally throw over to an interview, but due to some scheduling issues, well, I mean, we're all 4 people that work full-time trying to do this in our spare time, so it's fair that we're not always getting the interviews and the analysis in the right order. But anyway, because of that, we're just going to chuck the interview that Jono had with Mimi Hill at the end. So we're hoping that everything she says in there aligns with our analysis of Carlton's squad. But Liam, in terms of any live updates?
Yeah, look, if I'll obviously be the one in control of the Free Kick Twitter account, and if there are any major changes, I'll throw our comments up on there if they come out as a result of the Mimi Hill interview.
Sounds good. So then looking at our top 5 most fantasy-relevant players from Carlton, we're really gearing for a great one in the first spot, aren't we?
Oh,
yes. Damn, that's bad. In before you.
Oh, yep. All right, so we're going to talk about Maddie Gearan now. She is someone that you probably haven't seen a lot of on your AFLW fantasy teams, and that's because she's not played a game of football in, I think it's over 700 days. Oof. She unfortunately did back-to-back, so she did an ACL during the game 3 of season 7, and then had a further tweak of that ACL, meaning she missed all of season 8 as well. Now, she was someone that we were hot on at the beginning of season 7 because she was like a high tackling player. She'd had one of her best games ever in the final round of season 6, so a 19 disposal, 12 tackle performance against the Demons. Now, she's going to come in this year extremely cheap as a result of missing basically 1 2/3 seasons. She's going to be priced at 27 as a midfielder. Now, that does mean that she's in line to be an M5 or an M6 option for you at priced below 400k. So this is someone who hasn't always been a high time on ground player, but she's a high tackles player and a high points per minute player. So that's a definite tick for me. We know that she can score at that 50-60 point mark previously at AFLW level. And then she actually played 6 games in the VFLW this year on top of some games in the Sandful W to try and get some of her form back. So in those VFLW games at least, she averaged 70 points, including a couple of scores in the 90, notably one against Essendon in her second last game of the VFLW season. I think that she's definitely one player that I would be penciling in roughly into my sides, pending what other rookies that we get. It's not often that we get this kind of experienced player at a rookie price, so I think she's definitely one to watch out for.
Yeah, to be coming in like 25 points less than her average and like 75 points less than her ceiling is huge. There's just so much upside. In terms of the upside that we've seen from players, this has got to be one of the biggest.
Yeah, definitely.
And a player that a lot of people might miss when they're just scrolling down the team lists because, like you said, she's not a very well-known name. She's been away for a while, so...
Yeah, if you're coming in recently, you may not know much about Maddie, and she's got some good matchups to start the year for midfielders. She starts off with Hawthorn, Gold Coast and Geelong, who were all kind of decent enough scoring matchups last year. I will just say, though, that it's definitely a watch on her role because there was already a pretty consistent midfield trio, albeit without, I don't think, a fourth option in the midfield. So there was Nimi Hill, Abby Mackay and Keely Shearer as the main midfielders last year at Carlton. But I'm pretty confident in saying that even if she was a bit of a mid-forward, she'd probably still be a 50 averaging player and therefore present some pretty immediate upside for you.
I like it. And in terms of your pick number 2, someone else that's not been very present last season.
Yes, and Mel, this is also one of your favourite players because she manages to suck you in and into trading her in every single year, and that's Karen Peterson. So she was injured for most of 2023 and also had a pretty awful score in the 30s where she had to play as a full-time key defender owing to some injury hamperedness. We know that she's someone who can average in the mid to high 60s when she plays a bit of a wing / centre bounce / half back role. And I do think that there was a bit of a need for that kind of player last year. It really was... Gab Pound and no one else. Like there was a degree to which I think Harriet Cordner was playing a bit of that role at the beginning of the season, but owing to a lack of other forwards, she was thrown around a little bit. So KP is someone that I think can average back in that 60s again as a defender if she gets the role. And we know that as captain, she's definitely someone that will have some control over when she does get the ball.
Yeah, although I would like to flag that I actually avoided Karen Peterson and weighed my other favourite Carlton defender, Gab Pound, last season.
You did. Albeit we have this discussion every preseason about bringing in Karen Peterson.
Yes, and she is like, someone I...
She's real tempting.
Pretty much. Maybe not this year. over to number 3. You alluded to it before. It's the trio in slot number 3.
Yeah, this is one... I don't like to do this a lot in these fantasy relevant episodes, but I do think I need to talk about a position group because I think it'll be relevant for a whole bunch of different reasons, but it's the rucks. So notionally the third most relevant player to talk about is probably Celine Moody, but I do think that also feeds into a conversation about Bree Moody and Jess Good. So Celine Moody is a ruck / forward or forward / ruck, given I think she's primarily a forward in this team. And she'll come into this Carlton side and replace what Phoebe McWilliams was doing last year. the question just becomes, how do Carlton weigh up who is playing the most ruck time out of that group of Celine Moody, Bree Moody and Jess Good? Given that I think, Mel, you'd agree in saying that Bree Moody is one of the best rucks just in her work and her clearance work. And Jess Good definitely showed herself to be someone who was capable as well. In terms of what's going to happen for Celine as a fantasy option, she's someone that we know with a ruck forward split can probably still average in the 50s, and that was on shorter game time. So that becomes about of a 60 score. And then she's playing full-time ruck, I think, at the back end of season 6, before myself and Jono made the awful decision of starting her in season 7. She was actually up to a high 60s average as a full-time, or, you know, a more predominant ruck in that year. So priced where she is, I believe it's something like 39. She's absolutely going to be a name that I have to watch and a role that I have to watch in the preseason. But I also think that in doing that, you'll probably get a pretty good idea on whether or not Bree Moody will be an upgrade target for us during the season.
Bree Moody? Celine Moody? Which Moody?
No, Bree. Bree Moody. So you got to watch Celine Moody's role to get an idea on what Bree Moody is going, if she's going to be an upgrade target for us later in the year, because I don't think she's a starting target. But as we saw last year, if we're starting cheaper rucks, we're kind of getting to the middle of the season and thinking about who we can upgrade to. And Bree was a target for us at that point.
Yeah, the fact that there's three of them all in this position, all listed as a ruck, it makes me a little bit nervous. I'm not sure. Like, I do love the idea that Celine Moody could be a great pick, but I think that you either lock it in and you start with her while she's super cheap, because I'm not really a fan of messing around with my rucks that many times in a season. And we've got three listed as a ruck in Carlton here. So it's fascinating. I'm going to be watching with bated breath, but I'm not sure if I'm brave enough to lock it in.
That's totally fair.
Your pick number 4, though, not a ruck.
Not a ruck at all. And it's a younger player, and it's also a midfielder. And this is one that is almost reckless speculation, but I think it comes down to some issues that I mentioned earlier about Carlton's midfield. So my number 4 is Keely Skepper. Now, I talked about a degree of handball dominance in the midfielders among Abby Mackay, Keely Shearer, and Mimi Hill. Keely Skepper is not handball dominant. She is a beautiful kick on both sides of her body. Now, she fits perfectly into the Carlton midfield in that she is slightly built and has blonde hair. But I do think what she brings is a kicking skill that is sorely missing in that inside midfield group. We also know that she's had a ceiling. At the very least, in last season, she had an awesome game against West Coast where she posted a ton and she kicked a couple of goals. I just wonder if she's a player that will get thrown some more midfield time. So she's going to be priced below 70, which is definitely going to be a really awkward price. But I think the fact that you're getting someone who has ceiling scores of over 100, so 101 against West Coast and 107 against the Western Bulldogs, I haven't got anything to necessarily confirm that she'll be an inside midfielder, but this is someone who, when we talked to Breanne Moody in our interview last year, was mentioned as the potential breakout option. We did definitely see an improvement in her scoring. She was over a point per minute scorer. I just wonder if this is the year where she goes to another level and becomes more of an inside midfielder and can bump up that scoring.
Is this something you want to see, particularly in a preseason game or an early game, to make yourself more confident?
Yeah, it's midfield time, like inside midfield time.
Fair.
And obviously some comments about the fact that she's training there. It's not someone that I'm confident in saying, you know, it's not someone that I've currently got in, you know, the draft plan of my team right now. But it's a name I'm absolutely watching, because I think that Carlton's midfield's really one note. They don't have a breakaway option. They don't have an elite kick in there. And I think that might be why they really struggled to put together really big scores last year, is that their ball use going inside 50 was a real disservice to the quality of marking targets that they had in there. So Darcy Vesio, Mia Austin, and then also Breanne or Jess, whoever was resting forward.
Makes sense. And what about number 5?
Number five is a combo. I'm just going to talk about two draftees. So the main one I want to talk about is Lulu Beattie. So she wasn't drafted this year. She was a supplemental draft pick at pick five prior to season seven, but owing to a foot injury, didn't play a game. She's someone that when we talked about her last year, I talked about her being a versatile, medium-tall defender who was the captain of her rep, so her Coates League team as well, and played kind of all across the wing and across halfback at 172 centimetres. Now, she played VFLW games this year for an average of 62. But I also think that what she does is probably comes in as a 300k player who will, for all intents and purposes, most likely actually play this year. I think the fact that Carlton have lost so many defensive options, they're really going to be searching for the best balance. Yep. And I think that Lulu's experience in that position is going to be a real benefit. And I don't know how many 300k defenders we're going to get this year. I can't think of many more options that really speak to me as, they'll play at 300k.
I mean, a basement-priced defender that's going to start, can't go past that as a great option. Do love to see that, especially in the team that's lacking defenders and going to need it. So sounds like a good pick number five to me.
Well, the one other thing I was going to mention is it was a bit of a combo in that I also wanted to talk about Lila Keck. She's another player that I expect will start all her games this year. Now, sadly, she's, as much as I thought she might have been a forward, she's going to be a midfield this year, priced just under 400k. So she's probably going to struggle to break through the Port Adelaide rookie midfield dominance of Piper Window and Sinead Goody. But I expect her to play. She is a, you know, she's been a known talent for a few years now, has been playing VFLW games for 2 years. I don't think she's ultimately going to be a super high scorer, but I think that she will at the very least get game time. So might be someone that flits in and out of our teams through the year.
Yep, makes sense. I'm going to back up those. I mean, I would say top five, but now five, six, seven, eight. I'm going to back up those eight Carlton players you mentioned with my host special. I'm going to go with Keely Shearer. She's priced at 89 as a midfielder. Keely Shearer, the second Keely in Carlton, had a huge third season. She increased her average from 45 to 89, which is just wild. She's an incredibly talented young player, and Carlton know it. She got fourth in the Best and Fairest last season, as well as Coaches Awards, which gives her good job security for her place in the midfield. Like you said, she was one of the three that kind of had a lock on that role last season, so hoping that stays. We did see that she could get a couple of 100 pluses at the back end of last season. Like, some people will be really hot on her as a player and go, 89, that's underpriced. She could be a 100-plus averaging fantasy player. She could be elite. I think that's all true. But do I think it's going to be as explosive this season? Probably not. I think it might be a bit more of a slower incline given how much growth she saw last season. But I still like her as a pick because at 89, she wasn't super consistent with those scores last season. It was a bit of up and down. So you could either get on her early, put her in your starting squad and hope that that 89 goes up to 100 plus, or you could watch her for when she might have an off game early in the season, sees her lose a bit of money, lower that average, and then you could grab her as a mid-priced option or maybe as part of a, what am I looking for, buy-round scheduling choice where you can pick her up and know that she's going to earn you a little bit more cash because she does have that ceiling and that good average.
Yeah, I can't argue with any of that, particularly if she's got some good matchups for higher tackle games. She was the most consistent tackler for Carlton last year and was probably also their best clearance player. So I'm not for Keely Shearer as a starting pick, but I think keeping her in mind for an upgrade is 100% the way to go.
I like it. We're going to throw over to our interview, well, Jono's interview, actually, with Mimi Hill now. So please go ahead and enjoy that. And if you have any questions or you want to follow up on our other club review episodes coming out, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at FreeKickWPod. Make sure you subscribe to our Spotify so you can see when your team's club review comes out. And we will chat to you more later. Bye.
See ya.
Well, welcome, Mimi, to the podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Sad to be on it. It's good.
How has the return to an official preseason been this past month?
It's gone really quickly, to be honest. And it's been cold in Melbourne, but apart from that, it's been really good. We've made some really good grounds at Carlton, so it's exciting.
Yeah, no, it's good to hear. I was thinking just before, if we rewind to this time last year, it seemed like Carlton was in a very different spot. You'd had that big full review of the program and major changes in the off-field staff and really approach to how you, as a club, take on the AFLW. Looking back now, I mean, what are your reflections of that time compared to now?
It's like a whole different team, really. Like, we just had a lot of work to do last year. So it's really nice coming into this pre-season with all of last year's work under our belt, I guess. And players have improved so much with that whole 12 months of work that I feel a lot more confident going into the season, because previously it was kind of like you just come back and you start with a fresh slate, whereas we've actually built something now. So that's really, really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I feel like it was really impressive watching your start to last season, because having all that change and still winning, I think, four of your first six games, I mean, you really hit the ground running.
Yeah, I feel like people wrote us off pretty early just because everything had changed. But I kind of said no matter who we played round one, I thought we were going to win. Just like we were just fired up. So you wouldn't want to get us round one. So yeah, maybe played out of our skin a little bit and then got a bit tired near the end of the season. Hence the results dropped off a bit, but we were happy with how we went.
No, it's good to hear. And I guess another off season, you've had another little bit of change walking in and out of the door. In terms of the people that have come into the squad, I mean, how are you feeling they're settling in?
Really well. Like, it's nice that this year it was kind of Carlton who dictated the changes as opposed to other years, I guess. And they brought in some real good talent. Like, our two draft picks are going so well and do not feel look out of place at all. And then Celine Moody, obviously Brian's sister, just brings a lot of hype for us, which is fun. I hope it's scary for other teams. And then the likes of Tani Brown, she is a jet, one of the fastest in the comp, I reckon. So she's a force to be reckoned with. And then who else did we get? Yaz Dersma, she's really impressive as well. Gonna play a bit, be a bit of a back this year as opposed to playing a bit more on the wing for Port. And I think
Oh,
it
yeah.
suits her really well. She's really skillful, explosive. So yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of talent. And I feel like we're trying to put the pieces together of where everyone's going to play. Because you take
Yep.
someone like Celine Moody, you've got three of the best ruck forward combinations in the league. How are they going to play together? What's it going to look like?
I think the coaches are still trying to work that out, because it's actually really nice. We have a lot of competition at training now. Like, I guess previous years it's been, you know who's going to play, but this year there's a bit more competition. So I like that. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. They want to fit all of them into the team because, yeah, like I said earlier, it's pretty daunting to look up and see all those tall girls. But yeah, we'll find out. I can't really give you any answers yet.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I guess talking about Yaz Dersma going into the back line, I think it was really interesting in the offseason. We don't like to reflect too much on players who have left the club, but a good portion of those that were traded away or delisted, it seemed like a lot of them were playing in the back line last season. So I suppose I'm wondering who's going to be stepping up back there. We know you have a lot of depth on that line, but it's an interesting area to look at.
I mean, the main one who's kind of leading the charge at the moment is Harriet Cordner. She's obviously such a good back, and she's showing a lot of leadership in that area. So I think with her at the core, and then like Karen Peterson is always around. She's a jet, we know. And if her body's right, like, you don't want to line up against her. So you've still got them, and then of course Gab Pound is a gun player in the back line. And then after that, it's kind of just some younger players coming through, which, you have to change the team up eventually. So you got Yaz, and we've got some players you might not have seen before in Lulu Beattie. She's really skilled, disciplined player. So I'm hoping she makes a debut this year. Who else? You got Maddie Hendry. Might not know much about her, but she's pretty tall. So a bit of a key back role there. I'm just giving you the whole back line
Yeah.
up here.
No, we'd love to hear it.
Jen Lawson-Tavan, she played most of the games for us last season. she's got a bit of height as well. And then, yeah, you might actually see me back there a little bit. So not to give
that's
too much away.
Exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear that.
Wouldn't say I'm a defender. I'm a backliner, but that's fine.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting little tidbit there. I feel like it's a couple of those players. We're talking Karen Peterson and Lulu Beattie were just injured all of last year. It's so nice just having these players come back after. I know Karen played, what, 4 games, but she seemed pretty hampered when she was out there.
Yeah.
Seems like it'll be exciting to have a full strength.
Yeah, well, it's your captain coming in as well. So it's nice to have that experience. And I just feel for her because she was battling some pretty horrific injuries, but stuck trying to play through them. But she's really tough. And I just want her to see her playing free, I guess.
Yeah,
she's
absolutely.
So good when she is.
Yeah. You've actually got another one that we're pretty excited about on the podcast here in Maddie Guerin coming back into the midfield mix after a season out with an ACL. How's she looking?
Yes. She's looking really good. Don't want to jinx it, but yeah, she's flying at the moment. Just has probably the best penetration of the footy in the league, I'd say. So wouldn't be surprised if she kicks some sneaky snags. Could be a good one to get in your team, or if that's how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's going really well. So excited to see what she can do.
Yeah, no, it's good to hear. I feel like the Carlton midfield has always been a favourite of the fantasy community because when the games, I think when we got involved ourselves, seasons 6 and 7, you had yourself and Abby Mackay stepping up in a massive way. And then last season, we saw the development of people like Keely Skepper or Keely Sharar really taking off and showing off the talent you guys have there. You're now getting quite a lot of people who can run through the middle. What's that mix going to look like this season?
Exactly who you said. So same, like Keely Sharer, she's been so good of late and still building. So her, Abby, myself, Maddie Guerin comes in. Lily Goss gets a bit of time in there as well. And then Darcy Vesio, a bit of wing time potentially. So that could be another one to watch. But yeah, Skep as well. She's going to have a big year, I think.
Yeah, no, it's exciting to hear. And Vesio up on the wing, what's spurned that move for them?
I think Darcy is obviously such a talented footballer. So getting them closer to the ball, or more rounded, and using their they're an elite runner as well, so working both ways. It's been a really good move at training, so we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, pushing forward to kick some goals, but then also making those hard efforts back, they'll do it. So,
yeah, that's exciting to hear. Yeah. We're also looking at the forward line. It's really sad to hear that Fitzpatrick has gone down. Well, not gone down as such, but not going to be playing this season, moved to the inactive list.
Yeah.
I think she was one of the larger goal scorers for you last season. Are you looking at any sort of direct one-for-one replacements there, or who's sort of the next soldier up in the forward line?
Not necessarily like direct. Like it is, we were all really flat with the call about Ron. Sorry, we call her Ron.
Yeah, no, that's so good.
Just, we're not very good at saying Erone. It's too Australian. yeah, she was huge for us, but we're just giving her a bit more time to come back and not rush it. But in her place, like Lila Keck, new draft pick, and Tani Brown are looking really good. So it's almost a bit of a 2-for-1 there. You bring two in. And yeah, they're just getting dangerous at ground level with all our tools going to work as well. So it's looking pretty good up there, to be honest.
Yeah, that's exciting to hear. And I guess just last question for you. One thing we really like to ask here is, who have you been most excited watching this preseason and stands out as someone that you'll think, big season 2024, here we go?
I hate this question because I always have heaps of answers and then I feel bad for not giving more. The person who's come in to the club that's really impressed me is Yaz Dersma. Like, she's picked up the backcraft so quickly and she reads the ball really well in the air. So wouldn't be surprised if she took a few intercept marks per game. So that's a new player that I'm excited about. And then someone who everyone gets pretty excited about is Mia Austin. Just the way she flies the ball.
Yeah.
And yeah, you kind of forget about her because she's pretty tall, but she's not as tall as the Moody's and Jess Good. So she's kind of like bringing in Celine, another one to watch, because she will probably get a smaller defender, and she's scary to play on. So
Yeah, she seems really
yeah,
strong overhead. Yeah.
I'm hoping she takes Mark of the Year and wins me 50K. Drinks are on her.
Love that. No, that's great. Well, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate having you. Yeah, good luck in 2024.
No worries. Great to chat.